No, brilliant. Yeah.
Okay, maybe it is difficult.
So what's the big deal? I know, it's... Yeah.
It's called a box. It's I think that's a technical term, isn't it? Yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. Every home should have one of these. It's like IKEA furniture, isn't it?
Yeah.
So lean. Come on, it's scratchy on the top. Oh, well. All right.
All
focus,
right.
Pinky.
Okay. So how do you get... first question is, so how do you get into worship? And also, you said to me earlier that there's, you know, that you're having to deal with certain things along that journey, and maybe to share with people, because people often see and hear the songs and they see you doing this up front, but they actually realize actually to do that can be a bit of a challenge as well.
Yeah. You have to play with people like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They don't know. You don't know. No, Greg's been amazing. I got into worship because there was no one else in the small group who played guitar.
Is that right?
That is how my calling came about. Yeah. I mean, you know, availability.
Absolutely.
That's what they say. That was it.
And so what happened to move you from just kind of playing guitar to suddenly having your heart captured? Because obviously you've got a real love for the Lord, and it's communicated very clearly in your songs. And so obviously you move from strumming a guitar to suddenly moving from doing a job to actually running with it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, God got hold of me at university in Cape Town. So I kind of grown up in the church, and then... South Africa's quite church-going, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So,
well, they go to church.
People go to church. Yeah. I think that's what that means. Another technical term.
Call me old-fashioned, but you know.
Yeah. Just keep explaining me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I went to church and I knew all that stuff. And then my sister dragged me along to it, like the student meeting. And there was like 500 kids worshiping. Wow. We need to talk quieter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Waking people.
That's the neighbors, yeah. It's another night playing music at my place.
Yeah.
Shut it up! So I went along as her driver, because my sister couldn't drive, so I took her, and literally, like, while I was just sitting there, I was being smart aleck at the back in my head. I was, like, completing his sentences and saying, "Oh, whatever, mate." And then suddenly I just, it was a verse from the Psalms, "A fool says in his heart, there is no God." And literally, like, the guy who was teaching just said that, and he explained how God reveals himself through creation and then through his word, you know, and then most amazingly through Jesus. And he said, "And that's why you're foolish not to believe that there is a God." And I was like, bing! Like, I totally got it. I was like, "That's right!"
Yeah.
And like all the scripture that my parents had forced me to listen to as I was growing up all sort of got turned on. So I went home with my sister and I preached to her in the car. Always a big mouth.
Yeah.
And then we got home and I woke my parents up and preached to them. They had no idea what was going on. Like, who is this guy? And literally, it just felt like God grabbed me by the scruff of my neck and just said, "Come here." And I was just so blown away that, you know, he'd be even interested in hanging out with me. That was pretty cool. And then that we get to make music in church.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah. I used to go to a church where, because I had to go to church, so I thought, well, maybe I'll just play guitar while I'm there. And they let me play guitar, but they wouldn't turn my amp on. Yeah, that's how it started for me, which wasn't as much fun. So, you know, now that I can play with the volume up...
What about the mic as well? Was that...
No waste. There was no mic anywhere near me. That would have been suicide for that church.
Yeah.
As you'll find out soon. Yeah. No, so that's how it started.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know...
It's kind of gone from there.
Yeah, and there's always, you know... The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Isn't that the verse? So there was always like, "Oh, we need more people to help." And I was always like, "Okay, I'll go.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Excellent. And in terms of leading worship, so often I know that from many people I know in leadership and churches that often you see the sort of the best bit of the day when you're sort of standing up there, you're here, you're relaxed, you're enjoying worshiping God. Yeah. But often there's a journey that goes alongside that, and I don't know much about it because you just briefly mentioned it out there when we're having a curry. But I just thought it's quite important for people to know that when we often do this thing, we're often walking along, you know, we're walking a difficult road as everybody else is, and I think sometimes we avoid that because we're doing this, we're playing the songs, everything's great because, you know,
right?
Do you know what I'm saying? Kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know exactly what you're saying. No, it's hard, isn't it? I mean, it's like one of the promises of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's one of the promises. In this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
Hey! Name that and claim that.
Double helping.
Yeah. Frame that.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the package deal. I mean, like, I like that. Bill Hybels wrote a book a while ago, and he talked about life in all its fullness, you know. Mm. God came to give us life in all its fullness. And I think the fullness of life is all the joy and then, you know, all the hard stuff as well. I wish it wasn't the other stuff, but, you know, I think this is life in Technicolor. We get to live it. We get to be here and experience it. I mean, this is the gift God gives us. So, you know, and everybody's... we have a saying in our family, trouble knows where you live. You don't have to go over here, this house. He knows. So you know, like everybody, we've had troubles. About 5 years ago, my wife and I both fell ill with this condition called chronic fatigue syndrome, which sounds complicated, but basically it means you're tired.
All the time,
yeah. So even if you sleep, you're still tired. And medically, no one's solved it yet. So, you know, we're waiting.
So you've got the prefibrillator things, you go...
Yeah.
Just in case, they wake you up, yeah, just in case. Yeah,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's like electroshock therapy.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a good thing you're not a doctor.
I know.
I see you got excited about that. You're like, boom! Clear, VTAC!
Wake him up, go for it.
Too many medical movies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love doing
I'm
that.
Sick, really, but I know.
Check his liver. That's what I always say to my wife. I bet it's the liver. You watch. What do you know about medicine? Anyway, I don't know anything about medicine. But I do know, you know, we spent a lot of money and we went to all these, you know, doctors, and eventually they were just like, well, this is what you have, and we haven't worked this one out yet. So, you know, good luck. That's what they said. So we tried to push through it for about the first 6 months. I just kept going, actually, but it wasn't working. I was barely present. And I was working as a pastor in Oxford Town in England. And, you know, eventually the board of elders, of older people, said, you got to go home, mate. This is not helping you. You should go. My wife was working in finance in London, and she, you know, we hadn't got married yet, and she was told the same thing. You'll have to go. So we had to leave England and go back to South Africa, you know, to go live with my parents. I was pretty devastated. Actually, it was very hard. And I was like, well, now what are we going to do? I just see myself growing old, living in the room I slept in as a high school student. It wasn't attractive at all.
That's right.
Yeah. Washing my hands before dinner. Checking behind my ears. Anyway, yeah, so that's where we were. And we were devastated. Jude was devastated. I was so bummed. And, you know, and we got... You know, I kind of tried to faith it, and I was like, all right, I really believe it now. You know, that mental gymnastics you try to use to wrestle God into answering your prayer. But he was quite quiet during all of that. But I did feel very close to him. I felt very close, and so did Jude. And, you know, there's that verse in a couple of them, actually, in Isaiah, was, the Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted. And we felt him very close to us. And in the middle of that, we rediscovered Isaiah 40. And at like halfway through, where God's talking to his people, Israel, and halfway through he says, don't think that your way has been disregarded by me. Don't think that your cause is hidden. I can see, I know where you are. It's just like, oh, he knows.
Yeah.
I know where you are. And then he goes on, I am the everlasting God. I don't faint. I don't get weary. And those who wait on me will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not grow faint. This is his promise to us. So that was like cold water on a hot day. That was amazing. And actually, out of that, a mate of mine from Newcastle, Ken Riley, came down and we sat down and we started writing that song that we've just sung. And that was just like God's blessing to us. You know, and we're not cured of it. And like every day is a total tussle.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I have to get out of bed and then I have to fight all my way through the day. But we've found that he has helped us do that. Like, we've felt his faithfulness to us and his strength for us. You know, and he's come through at very difficult times. He's totally been there for us. You know, I know that God heals, you know, and one day we get replacement bodies that are much nicer than these ones. I'm looking forward to that day. But God is Emmanuel. God is here. He's always here. He's always here, and he's with us.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Yeah.
It's more than enough. It's pretty great. Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate that. And then we've got some fantastic people in our church, I'm sure you have as well, who have been leading worship for our church and over many years, and they're just a great people. And I just wanted almost like a word of encouragement to them. As I was saying to you earlier, just, you know, what would you say that you've learned about worship that you can commend to the next generation? I know it's a bit of a difficult question because I'm sure you would leave this room and think, oh, I know. But it's quite a...
Wish I'd said that.
Yeah, yeah.
What is booze to go? Sorry.
That's after.
That is distracting, isn't it? I'm just sitting here staring at booze.
Do you want
to
some more? Should we get some orders running out there now?
It's a discount off license, not just your ordinary off license, yeah. So nice. There must be a distraction sitting on that window. So I'd definitely be positioning myself over there with Paul. Yeah. Ah, what to say? Do you know, yeah, exactly. Sorry, what did you say?
Red or white?
Yeah. I'm gluten intolerant. We'll have to go for wine, yeah. It is so much fun. That's my thing. We do. This is joyful. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. You know, I just think... This is just the coolest job in the world. I really do think it's just an amazing thing. And every time we worship together, we get to experience the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't always look the same. Actually, that was something that I learned later than I should have, which I wish I'd learned earlier, was that it doesn't always look the same. You know, sometimes you lead worship and, you know, I don't know, the congregation are 30 feet off the ground, bumping their heads on the ceiling, and it just looks incredible, and you think, ah, that's what it should look like every week. And then the next week you're disappointed because people are sitting down and they seem to be out of it. But every time the Lord is there, you know, and often when I think, oh, this is just folding, we're going nowhere, I might as well just put the guitar down and go back to being an usher. Which is what I thought the first time I led worship. I thought, you don't have to lead worship. Because it went so badly. I was like, I could be an usher. No preparation. You just walk in. Seats to the left, ma'am.
Excellent.
Yeah. But I didn't. I didn't go that way.
Yeah.
I also nearly chose the recorder instead of the guitar.
Oh, did you?
At school, yeah. So that could have been tricky.
That would have been, yes.
Yeah. I don't think there are any recorder playing worship leaders out there.
No, nor should there should be.
Exactly.
No, exactly. All tambourine players.
So the Lord does lead us. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Tambourine.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah. So, I mean, my encouragement to worship leaders is don't feel the pressure to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can relax. A friend of mine, there's a guy called Paul Balash, and his wife says to him, you're not as powerful as you think you are. You know, you can't make these things happen. We've got a certain responsibility. We sort of prepare our hearts. But mostly, we follow Jesus. I think, you know, we just live this life like we normally would, with our eye on the Lord, hopefully, most of the time. And then, you sing the songs and just allow the Lord to work. Don't feel like you have to conjure up something every time you play. I just say, you know, just sing the songs and let the Lord do his thing. And, you know, sometimes it'll look to you like it's unbelievable stuff is happening and it's probably pretty ordinary. And then 1 week you think, this is terrible. I'm back to ushering for me. That's where I'm going. And then, you know, 7 people will come up to your wife, and they'll come to you, of course, and they'll say, "Well, it was really good today." Yeah. So don't. My encouragement is, don't try assess it too much.
Yeah.
You know, and be easy on yourself. I find a lot of the worship leaders are like compulsive overachievers, and they're, I should have played an extra bar in the 3rd song. stupid. I don't think that's what it's about, you know. Honestly, think it's okay. Just prepare the songs, you know, practice singing in tune, and which isn't easy. Yeah, and then
absolutely, I know.
I'll prove it every week.
But that's so refreshing to hear this. Yeah.
Right, because it shouldn't be technically.
Yeah.
Difficult. That's not the good news. The good news is you get to meet the Lord. If you can play 11 chords perfectly in time, no, it shouldn't be like that. It should be.
Absolutely.
The Lord is here. He loves us. We don't need to do this. That's what Jesus is for.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he did it. He paid all that price.
Definitely.
And just finally, it's obviously you travel around quite a bit, and you know, you probably visit different places, meet different people, and I'm always interested, you know, what you feel the Lord may be saying. I know it's a bit of a massive comment, but or maybe a very small comment, but you know, what are you feeling the Lord is saying as you're traveling, you know, regarding worship at this time?
Yeah, I mean, you did prepare me for this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a good answer to that.
I
do feel like just for the worship, how many people write songs for worship, corporate worship? Oh, look, more than you think. God bless you. We need more songs. I mean, that is another injunction from the Lord. Psalm 33, sing a new song. Sing a new one.
Yeah. Please.
Please. Anybody. We don't care. Just 4 lines. Yeah. No, but isn't there a freshness? There's a freshness in our spirits when we have a new song comes.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was in Chorley Wood, Matt Redmond used to be the worship leader there, and David Pitchers and my dad would be sort of doing a talk, and the next week out came the song. It's kind of as simple as that.
Yeah, you know, and they don't have to be good. There's a bloke called no disrespect, Redmond. There's a bloke called Godfrey Birtle, and so he's kind of crazy. But I really like him. He's got a song called Ring a Ding a Ding Ding. Have you heard that? Jesus in the Classroom. Anyway, you can look it up on MySpace. But he, you know, it's gotten quite technical with all these worship writers get together and we talk shop, and it, you know, it's sort of like this industry now. And, you know, please make sure you include this kind of, make sure you're Trinitarian. We're not writing enough Trinitarian songs. So I include the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father in the song, which is a fair comment.
Yeah.
It's very tricky with pronouns. I want you to know. Just in case you're thinking about it, it's very hard. Who do you, you know, you. It just gets complicated. I've tried, but it's worth the effort. Anyway, Godfrey Birtle says, just write songs. You don't have to be a genius. Just write songs. Write them. Write rubbish songs. You know, write poor songs, just write songs for the Lord. Somebody said to me yesterday, there's a good chance the Lord is tone deaf. Like he doesn't notice. He doesn't honestly really mind. We're the ones who get flustered, I think, but God is interested in the heart, you know, and these songs are just an expression of the heart. So my encouragement is just to keep writing. Godfrey Bertel started writing songs. He did, I have to tell you the story. He did, like, it was a super charismatic church. Charismaniacs. Anyway, there was a visiting preacher, and he said, I want to pray for the songwriters. All the songwriters are getting nervous now. I want to pray for the songwriters. So everyone's standing. It's a massive auditorium, and they're all standing. I might be adding to the story. So everyone's singing, the band is playing. He said, please come, songwriters, you come up on stage. And then he said, I'm going to interview all of you. Anyway, so they all come up on stage and he says, right, now the band, I'd like the band to play. So the band's going to play this groove. And then he put the mic in front of each songwriter. And he says, now just sing a song. Sing a song. Just make it up. Just sing it right now. So he went down the line and finally they got to Godfrey and he was so nervous that he sang, happy birthday to you. Oh, so great.
That's fantastic.
So great.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yeah, I'd say just write, you know, lots of songs.
Yeah, excellent.
You know.
Well, that's really helpful. Is there one question someone wants to ask out here, and then we're going to have a couple more songs. Does anyone else have a question they'd like to ask Brenton?
Not after that.
Very reserved.
I know. They're not.
Yeah.
Anyone got a question they'd like to ask? Going.
Yeah.
Going.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's just like school.
It's a good question, wasn't it? So what we're going to do?
Nobody cares.
Who cares anyway? Yeah. But I just want to say thank you so much for coming to join with us. It's been great having you, and it's wonderful for you leading worship with us. And what we're going to do now is we're going to have a final couple of songs. During the first song, I'm going to invite the small group. We're just going to take a collection just to cover the costs for the evening. But we want to finish by worshiping together. So shall we stand? And can I just ask the small group who are going to do that just to be able to do that?
Don't feel like I got my money's worth from the I'm saying that, yeah, from the Irish phrases. Don't you want to give me just like a couple more, any kind of phrase, your discretion? No, you guys are ready to go home and start Monday, aren't you? Tell. No one's gonna give me an Irish phrase. Coming. Okay. One at a time, please. What was that? Was that naughty? Yeah, it was Irish. Yeah, it's very good. Norwi a bonque. See, this is going to require more attention from me. All right, let's worship. Giving up. Lord, we love you. We're so grateful that you invite us into your presence, that you've called each one of us, that you know each one of us by name, that we are not forgotten. Lord, that our cause has not been disregarded by you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, just as we go out this week and head out, I ask that you would fill us up and that you would send us out. And Lord, that we would know your presence. We would know that you love us and you've chosen us and you're delighted in us. As we delight in you, God. Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace, to hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down.
So before I say a final blessing, I just want to say thank you to the guys here, for Brenton and for Greg, and also for the guys who did the sound, all the guys from Three Rock are here, all those from Core who've been on the door, who've been setting chairs out, who've been opening doors up, all sorts of things. I just want to say thank you guys so much for all you did for this evening. So let's just recognise that by giving a little round of applause. And so I'm going to say a final blessing, but also we'd always like to offer prayer for anybody who would like to be prayed for after the service. We have a prayer ministry team who will do just that, so do please come to the front, and we'd love to do that. It's a real privilege to do such. But I'm going to say this wonderful blessing that I've been using quite a lot recently because it's so beautiful. It says this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. So have a wonderful week. Thanks so much for coming. Wonderful seeing you all this evening, and have a safe trip home, and we'll see you again. God bless.